Ruchim Abayim Rabotai. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying Parashat Vayera. Our parasha is very rich. Many topics that deserve a separate shiur. Of course, in the short amount of time that we have, we don't have the ability to go through every single topic. Of course, we have the birth of Yitzhak Avinu. We have the story of Sedom, and the highlight of the parasha, Akedat Yitzhak. However, there is one area of the parasha which deserves our analysis tonight, because in it there's a big secret. And the secret is worthy to be revealed tonight for those members that attended. It's a sod, a secret of life. Avraham Avinu is recovering from the Brit Milah, and he's visited by three malachim. So the pasuk says the malachim come into Avraham's tent. Vayomer Olam, Vayesara Ishtecha, Vayesara, Vayomer Inei Ba'Oel. She's inside. Vayomer Shob Ashuv Elecha Ka'et Chaya. The angel said, "We're going to return to you next year." Vayne Ben Lesara Ishtecha. And behold, your wife is going to have a son. V'Sarah shomaat petach ha'ohel. Sarah hears the news. V'hu acharav. What does that mean, v'hu acharav? Who's the who? V'hu acharav. And he is behind. He is in the back. I just want to know the pshat in the pasuk. Before we get to the Kabbalah, just simple interpretation. V'hu acharav. How did you learn it? So Rashi says, V'hu acharav. V'hu is referring to the door. V'hu and the door was behind the malach. That means the malach was inside the tent. The door, meaning the petach of the oil, was behind him. V'hu acharav. And Sarah was outside. And she, I don't know if she had a cup against the door listening, but she heard everything that happened. There is a commentator on the Torah called Yonatan ben Uziel. Exactly 1 week ago today, I was in Eretz Israel. I went to the kever of Yonatan ben Uziel. He wrote a targum. He learns differently. Sarah shoma'at, v'hu aharav. He writes, and I quoted his language, v'yishma'el ka'ev batra v'tzayit mad amar malacha. V'hu aharav is referring to Yishma'el. It means Yishma'el was standing behind the door and he was eavesdropping. He was listening to what the malach was telling Abraham and Sarah. You can imagine he wasn't so happy. Now he hears he's going to have another brother. Right away, his Yerusha is cut in half. He has to split it to 50%. Now he has sibling rivalry. Now he has to get a share his allowance. The last thing Ishmael wants is a brother. So the pasuk saying, V'hu acharav, Ishmael is behind the door, and he's listening to what the malach is saying. Comes the midrash, and the midrash is to Yonatan ben Uziel. Midrash says, why was he standing outside? The midrash says, Mepenei Yehud. Because of Yehud. What is Yehud? Yehud is the law that a man and a lady cannot be secluded together. Yehud. So the midrash says, Mepenei Yehud. I don't know exactly what this midrash is talking about. What Yehud? First of all, there was no Yehud yet. Yehud didn't happen until David HaMelech. But even if you want to tell me that Avraham Avinu and his family kept the whole Torah before it was given, what Yehud? There's three men and Avraham Avinu in the tent with Sarah. And it's the middle of the day. And the door is open. It's Reshut Rabim. What kind of Yehud is that? You tell me, Yishma'el was such a Hasid. He's Mahmiran Yehud. And even the biggest Sadiqim are not Mahmiran. But the Midrash says, why was Ishmael outside? I don't know if we'll answer this question, but it's a question nonetheless. Okay, let's continue the parasha anyway. So now she hears that she's going to have a baby. You have to assume when she hears that she's going to have a baby, the pasuk should say, "Vatomer Sarah, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Sheahyanu V'keimanu V'gi'anu L'zeman Hazeh Baruch Atov Ametiv." For sure, she should make a blessing. Or Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefilah. I mean, she's praying for 90 years for this. She's waiting for this phone call for 90 years. They're praying the tefillot of the tzaddikim. And now finally she gets the greatest news. Ka'et chaya u'sara ben. What's her reaction? Pasuk says, v'tetzhak sara bekerba lemor. She laughs. Okay, I don't have a problem. Some people, when they get happy, they laugh. They get nervous, they laugh. But then she says, "Achare benoti aitali edna." After I'm all worn out, I'm going to be refreshed. Benoti, she's biluya. She's her body is already old. Aitali edna. Edna means she's going to become refreshed. I don't want to say it, but it sounds like she's. Sounds like she's doubting it. As if she's saying, you know, hey, yitachin, it's possible such a thing. This doesn't sound like the reaction of a tzaddiket. The reaction of a tzaddiket that knows that God can do anything. Like God will tell Sarah in a minute, yipalem Adonai davar. Is God limited? Can God not accomplish anything? But Sarah doesn't know that. Sarah, Chas v'Shalom, she laughs and she says, "What's going to be? I'm old. My husband's old. How's it possible?" But Tzhak Sarah v'Kirma Lemo. That's the last reaction we would expect from Sarah Emenu. And by the way, what do you mean she doesn't expect? So then, what was she praying for all these years? I mean, just I'm making hashbon now with you. She gives Hagar to Abraham. Why does she give Hagar to Abraham? Because she says, in the merit that I give Hagar to Abraham, maybe she'll have a child herself. Good. How many years prior did she give Hagar to Abraham? 13 years prior. So that means she was 77. So at 77, she has no problem to have a child. To me, there's no difference between a 77-year-old having a child or a 90-year-old lady having a child. To me, it's the same hadush. Both of them, they make it to the National Enquirer. They make it to the newspaper. So at 90, she says, "Oh, arebeloti, aitali adna." 13 years ago, you were 77. You weren't 18 years old. And then already you were making hashbonot. I'll give you Hagar, and bezkutar, I'll have a child. And all of a sudden now at 90, when she gets the news, my husband's old, everybody's old. Anyway, so Borei Olam gets angry. This is our question. Why is Sarah laughing? It's really not our question, it's God's question. Borei Olam asked the $1 million question. What is she laughing? God says, what do you mean? Is anything concealed from me? Anything limited to me? So, of course, to God's question, Lamma zeh sa'aka Sarah, what does Sarah answer? V'tekahesh Sarah lemor, lo sa'akti. Why? Unbelievable. She denies it. I didn't laugh. Look, you didn't laugh. The pasuk says you laughed. Everybody knows you laughed. Borei Olam comes along and says you laughed, and you come along and deny it. Incidentally, just as a side point, there's a rabbi called the Tosfot Reed, Rabbi Yeshaya Ditrani, that came from the city in Italy. They both learn from this pasuk over here that this is the source why a lady is pesula le'edut. That's why ladies cannot testify. Because you see, she got flustered. God says, you left. No. Lo sahakti. Why did she say lo sahakti? Because ki yare'a. She got scared. She got flustered. When God said, hey, you left. No, I didn't left. So a lady cannot testify in court because she's going to get flustered. The prosecutor will start asking her a question. No, we can't. Okay, leave the halakhot of a lady being pursued on there. Don't be offended, ladies. But the point is, how could she deny it in front of God? Lo sahakti. And this parasha to me is the most difficult parasha. I don't know how you learned it. You read it on Shabbat. You read this for 50 years, these parashiyot over here. How do we understand simple pshat in Sarah's reaction, in her denial? I'm going to tell you now what the Gemara Ta'anit says. Gemara Ta'anit is talking about a principle, how to preserve a blessing. The pasuk says, "Yitzav Adonai et haberacha ba'asamecha," that God will command His blessing ba'asamecha. So the Gemara says, "What is this word ba'asamecha?" Ba'asamecha comes from the word samui. Samui means concealed or hidden. Tanat the Gemara says, "Ena beracha mitsuya." Ela bedavar she'ena ayin sholetet ba. A key to preserve and maintains one's blessing is to keep it under the radar, where eyes cannot penetrate it. Once already people see the blessing and they know what you're doing and they know what you're up to, there's a certain force called ayin hara, and it's an energy that comes out of the people's eyes. And that energy can be negative sometimes, and the ayin hara is able to, chas v'shalom, damage a person's success. So the Gemara gives an unbelievable rule. It's the asamecha rule. Ba asamecha. Samui min ha'ayin. Don't talk so much. Don't let anybody know how much money you have, what you're going, what you did. Not like today. Today, if a person has a little success, right away he goes on Twitter, he takes 150 pictures, he sends it to all his friends. Because he went to a restaurant, he's eating a sandwich. He has spaghetti and meatballs. Right away, he takes a picture of himself. He sends it to the whole world. Look at me, I'm eating spaghetti and meatballs. This is exactly the opposite of what the Torah is telling you. Ba'asamecha. Ba'asamecha, keep it to yourself. A lady got an engagement present. Or an anniversary present. Right away, she takes a picture of the jewelry. Click. What happened to ba'asamecha? You want beracha? Now she's getting ayin hara from 150 friends. Even though they text her back, very nice, mazal tov. Meanwhile, ayin hara. The next day, she's making the tajadayim, the ring falls down the sink. She wants to know why did this happen to me? What happened to you? What happened to ba'asamecha? You understand what I'm saying? Ela beracha shiruya, ela bedavar asamui min ha'ayin. Of course, it's not always 100% able to keep things clandestine, but as much as you can. You shouldn't promote, you shouldn't talk, you shouldn't advertise. In America, we call it the low-key. You have to low-key it. There's no species in the world that reproduces more than the fish, because nobody's looking at them. You can't see them. There's no species that's more samui min ha'ayin than the fish, and therefore they have beracha. Of course, we take them out of the fish, and we put them in a fish tank to give them ayin hara, so everybody goes looks at them. But we reverse what Hashem wants. But in the perfect world, the samui min ha'ayin, that's what we always bless Am Yisrael, v'yifru v'yiru kedagim. You should be like the fish of the sea. So some of you are thinking, wait a minute, he came to talk about ayin hara? We don't believe in ayin hara. There's no such thing as ayin hara. Ayin hara is a fictitious concept. Good. But the Gemara in Baba Metzia, on page 107, says that Rav went to the cemetery, and Rav had an uncanny ability to know, just by looking at a grave, he could tell you cause of death, without taking an autopsy. And he concluded that 99 out of 100 people in the cemetery died from Ayin Hara, and one died from natural causes. So go fight with Rav, who's Tanau Palig, that there's no such thing as Ayin Hara. And he's telling you the majority of the people in the world are affected, even to the extent of death. So I said that because of this concept, the Tzaddikim knew about it, and therefore they were very careful to play down any of their successes or any of their blessings. Yaakov Abinu, for example. Yosef comes home one day, he says to his brothers and to his father, I had the two dreams last night. What was your dreams? Everybody bowed down to me, including my father. Okay, what was the second dream? The same dream. Everybody bowed down to me, including my father. Now, by the way, Yaakov Abinu, he held these dreams in very high esteem. He knew these dreams were not stam. These dreams were prophecies. These dreams were Ruach HaKodesh. It was a Nivu'ah. He knew that one day these dreams are actually going to manifest. And what's Yaakov's reaction? Vayigar bo Aviv. Yaakov chastises Yosef and says to him, Ma halom hazeh asher halamta? What kind of dream is this? What kind of fantasy is this you're having? This is a dream. And then right after he chastises him and he rebukes him and he belittles him and he tells him, what does the next line say? Then after he yelled at him and screamed at him, he takes the dream and he puts it in his brain. He says, one day something's going to happen. So I can ask you a question. If you believe that the dream is significant, so why do you say ma'alom azeh? Because he doesn't want the brothers to give Yosef the ayin hara. We call that a decoy. Which means if Yaakov Abinu would have said, this is a... Ashrecha Yosef asadik shezachita lenevuah. You're a prophet. Brothers, you know, your brother Yosef is a prophet. This is nevuah. The brother had nevuah. This guy's a nevuah. Ben Zikurim, young guy, has a problem. They would start talking, and all of a sudden they would start looking at him, they would become resentful. And then, you know what would happen? It wouldn't happen. The Ayin Hara would spoil it. So Yaakov Abinu doesn't want the brothers to spoil it. So right away he says, nah, come on, Ashtiyot. It's like somebody comes to you and says, I heard you made a lot of money. Come on, but a lot of money. I'm waiting to make a lot of money. I wish. Meanwhile, he made a lot of money. But he doesn't want to talk. A lot of money. I'm waiting to make a lot of money. So the guy walks away and says, I thought he made it. Okay, forget about it. He forgets about it. You understand? The tzaddikim always are trying to get away from the Ayin Hara. So that's a ploy of Yaakov Abinu. It's brought down in Sfarim. Even when you go to a tzaddik to get a beracha for something, if you want the beracha of the tzaddik to work, don't tell anybody. Don't publicize, I'm going to the tzaddik to get a beracha because I need this and this and that. Don't talk. The talking already can cause Ayin Hara that it should become sabotage. Just go do it. Go do it. You don't have to broadcast. I once brought a proof to this. The proof is from this week's Haftarah. The Shunamit lady was a tzaddeket. She was very hospitable. She always invites the prophet Elisha to stay by her. She built him an annex, with a bed and a table and a menorah. So the prophet is very grateful. So the prophet tells the Shunammite woman, how can I bless you? She says, no, I don't need anything, Baruch Hashem. I'm betoch ami anochi yoshevet. So the prophet says, still, I want to bless you. So the prophet finds out that she doesn't have a child. She's childless. So the prophet, Elisha, blesses the Shunammit next year at this time, ka'et hayav at chobeket ben. Just like it said in this week's parasha, by Sarah. Next year at this time, you're going to be hugging a baby. And sure enough, boom, next year at that time, exactly like the prophet said, she had a baby boy. A few years later, the Navi says, the boy's in the field. All of a sudden, he says, aha, Roshi, Roshi. He got an aneurysm or something. Bar Minnah. And dies. The mother takes the corpse, goes into the house, puts the baby on the bed. He dies. She can't believe it. What kind of blessing is this? The blessing of the prophet, and now after a few years, the baby dies? What is this, a prank? So she wants to go to the prophet, she wants to ask for a blessing. She wants more than a blessing, she wants a miracle. She's going to go to the prophet now and ask on the paper for Tahiyat HaMetim. Her request is Tahiyat HaMetim, it's not a small request. So she goes to her husband, the Shunammit goes to her husband and says, could you saddle a donkey for me? I need a donkey to go on a trip. Where are you going? I'm going to the prophet. What does the husband say? Why are you going to the prophet? Lo chodesh ve lo shabbat. It's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbat. Why should you go to visit the prophet? In those days they would visit the prophet on Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh. Lo chodesh ve lo shabbat. Is everything okay? This is what the husband asks. What does she answer back? Batomer shalom. She says, yeah, no, everything's fine. She doesn't tell her husband. Why? Not that the husband's going to give her ayin hara. But if you want beracha, especially in this case over here, you're going to the tzaddik to ask for something that's supernatural. Don't talk. Once already gets out, it can get sabotaged. People talk about it and have a jealous eye, however you want to refer to it as. So she doesn't even tell her husband what she's about to do. She does it, and it worked. The prophet ended up coming to the house, lied on the baby, and the baby was resurrected. The baby eventually becomes Habakkuk HaNavi. But the point is, you see this concept that the tzaddikim, they never flaunted or talked about the hatzlachot, their prosperity, their blessing. You know what happened to Sarah Imenu? When she heard that she's having a baby, she's thrilled. In her heart, Baruch Shomei HaTefillah, Baruch She'ayanu V'Kiyimanu V'Gi'anu. She's thrilled on the highest level. She has no doubt for one second that she could have a baby. Not if she was 90, if she's 900, she knows she could have a baby. She wasn't doubting God's ability, she wasn't doubting the Hashkaha. Of course, Sarah Emin, there's only 4 imahot. Sarah is a prophetess. She's a Nevi'ah, and she's a greater prophetess than Avraham Avinu. There's no question, she has no doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make miracles. She saw already all the miracles that happened to Avraham Avinu. She saw her husband was thrown into a fiery furnace and he came out alive. So the same God that can do that, the 90-year-old lady can have a baby. That's not why she was laughing. You know why she was laughing? Because who's standing behind the door? Yishmael. And Yishmael sitting there giving the ayin hara. He's got his hands up. And he's got all his the eyeballs and all the different things that he's doing. All the voodoo. He's got the voodoo doll already playing all his tricks. So if Sarah's going to come along and say, oh, Yishtabach Shemo, my tefillah were answered, guaranteed, having a baby, we're very lucky. Yishmael's going to go now and start talking in the street. You hear, you're having a baby, the baby, no, what's your baby? She's 90 years old. And all of a sudden, the Ayin Hara's going to start, and before you know it, miscarriage. No, there's some ladies, they don't say they're pregnant. They get pregnant, and they tell everybody, don't, they tell the husbands, don't tell anybody, I don't want anybody to know. Until they have no choice, until it becomes obvious. But they don't. So there's some ladies, by the way, they get the pregnancy test after 1 minute, they're calling everybody, I'm pregnant, pregnant. And bar minan, not good. Ayin ara, you don't want ayin, you don't want people to talk. Samui mina ayin, ba'asamecha. So what Sarah was doing was a decoy. Don't you understand? So she comes along and says, what? I'm having a child. So what is Ishmael going to repeat when he goes out? Is Ishmael, what happened today? I don't know, some angel came and told my stepmother she's having a baby. I know, what's her reaction? Nah, they don't believe it. Nothing. And that's it, the story's over. And I prove it to you that this is a correct shot, because there's one word, without my interpretation, this word doesn't make any sense. The Pasuk says, Vatitzhak Sara Bekirba Lemor. What is the word Lemor? Okay, let's go back to Aleph bit. What does the word Lemor mean when you read Tanakh? To say to others, Vaydaber Adonai in Moshe Lemor. Sarah's talking to herself. Vatitzhak Sara Bekirba Lemor. What is it to say to others? Of course, who's to say? Who's the others? To Ishmael, who's standing outside the door. She goes to the door and she says, Ahare beloti, haitali adna, lemor. So Ishmael will take the news and carry it out. So the street will discount it. The street will not give it any credence. The street right away will say, nothing. It's not going to happen. Oh, if that's the case, so Borei Olam comes along and says, lama zesa'aka Sarah? Why is she laughing? Is she laughing because she doesn't believe? This is what God said. God knows the emet, but God wants to hear it from Sarah. Lama zesa'aka Sarah? Why is she laughing? What? She doesn't think that I can give her a baby. Ayipalem Adonai davar. So what does Sarah answer? Lo sahakti, no. I didn't laugh. Because I didn't believe. You know why I laughed? Ki yare'a. Because I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of the Ayin Hara of Ishmael. You see now the whole, this is straight down. Now the parasha is smooth. Now we have a mahalach in the parasha. Yeah, she denied laughing out of skepticism. But the guy said, no, I didn't laugh out of skepticism. Of course I believe that God can do anything. So why did you laugh then? Ki yare'a. So what does God answer back? Look, he's a hak. You laughed. What do you mean you laughed? What Elam was saying is a big hadush. Yes, there's ayin hara, and yes, Yishmael is he can sabotage. But not in this case. Because this case, you heard it from the prophet, from the malach, you heard it from my mouth directly. When you hear a beracha from God, a yipalema Adonai davar, after God already is heralding this news directly to you, you don't have to worry about ayin hara. And therefore, your laughing is considered a problem. It's skeptical, not laughing. Normally you want to make a decoy, no problem. Like the Shunami doesn't want to tell the husband, like Yaakov Abinu says, no problem. But here the Malach told you directly. The Malach came and said, I'm speaking in the name of God. This wasn't a dream. This is direct communication. So God says, when there's a direct communication, you don't have to worry about ayin hara. You shouldn't have, you didn't have to make this whole ruse. Oh, but you know what I learned from this? That unless you hear a direct communication from God, and unless it's heralded directly from the malach, you have to worry about ayin hara. God didn't tell Sarah, shtuyot, ayin hara, what are you worried about? You don't believe in that. We don't believe in that stuff. What are you talking about? No. He said, in this case, you don't have to worry. But Smashma, what? Outside of this case, you have to be concerned. So then the question, the million-dollar question is, how do you protect yourself? So you're going to answer me, Rabbi, you gave me the answer already. Just be low-key, don't talk too much, don't let everybody know what you're doing. And the ba'asamecha, good. But as much as you want to keep the ba'asamecha, sometimes things get out. So is there a way to protect yourself? So I'm going to give you the way. We're not worthy to hear this, what I'm telling you now. We're not worthy. But because I was away for the past 2 weeks, so I feel that I have to compensate you by revealing a big secret. And to talk about the Shemot HaKiddushim a little. Everybody knows Borei Olam has names. Yudke Vavke, we know Yudke Vavke's mercy. Elohim, Din. Shem Shakai, on the Mezuzah, that's the Shem of protection. Shomer Daltot Yisrael. Kel, Aleph Lamed, Chesed, Kel, Kol Hayom. There's different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's not so well known is that there's a list, and I have the list, of 72 names of God, and each one of these names has three letters. You're going to say, hey Rabbi, how'd you get that list? Where do you get the list from? The list is actually written in the Torah itself. Open up the beginning of Parashat Beshalach. You'll find over there three pesukim. Each pasuk has 72 letters. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, and the first letter of the third pasuk, and you have a name. Take the second letter of the first pasuk, the second to the last letter of the second pasuk, and the second letter of the third pasuk, and you create a name. And from these three pesukim, I'm not telling you what pesukim they are. But I'm just trying to tell you, it's in the Chumash, it's in the book. You don't even have to go further. And you'll make a list for yourself of 72 names, and each name has three letters, and you're going to say, Rabbi, what's the benefit to know these names? Because each name over here is another key for another situation. Now, the Torah doesn't tell you how to use the names. That you have to open up the Zohar, the Arizal. And there's books on this. I'll refer you to a book called Herepifiyot, where he actually goes through all the 72 names and he explains exactly its function and its usage. Asagiveu ki yadashemi. Borei Olam says, I protect you. I protect you. Why do I protect you? Because they know my name. He knows my names. There is one of the names of God of the 72 that protects from Ayin Hara. How do we know there's such a name? I'll tell you how we know. Because there's a rabbi called Rav Shimshon Mastropoli. He writes in the Sefer is called Karnayim, in Perek Yud, in the Sefer he says, Uf Kabbalah Mirav Huna. We have a tradition from Rav Huna, from the Gemara, Rav Huna. Sigula, certain Sigula, against Ayin Hara. Wow, this is the first time I've heard of this. Rav Huna already became in the Sigula business. We have a tradition from Rav Huna. Rav Huna, normally traditions come from, you know, the modern rabbis, you know, the later rabbis. Sigula from, you know, the Chassidish Rebbe that lives in, you know, this place over there. No, Sigula from Rav Huna. Wow, what's the Sigula from Rav Huna? Sigula against the Ayin Hara. So he says in his commentary on the side over here, the commentary is called Danyadi. And he says, what's the Sigula of Rav Huna? He says that there's a pasuk that we say when we come into the Bet Knesset. Va'ani berov hastecha avo betecha. Eshtahave el echal kotshecha biratecha. That I'm coming to your house of worship. Adi b'rom hastecha, bo betecha. Eshtahave, I'm bowing you lechal kotshecha in front of the echal. So he says that if you take the three words el eshtahave el echam, eshtahave is an aleph. El is an aleph. Hechal is a he. There's a Shem Kadosh, He Aleph Aleph. That's one of the 72 Shemot, which comes from the Pasuk, Eshtahaveh El Hechal, it's He Aleph Aleph backwards. That's the Shem against Ayin Hara. What should you do with it now? I'm not saying you should put it on your car, or pick a license plate, or put it on a baseball hat, or put a shirt, or walk around with a placard, the Aleph Aleph. But stam, so the information, you should know that, that's the Shem. And Rav Shimshon Mastropoli says, that's Rav Huna's item. Rav Huna revealed that to the world. Rav Huna is the one that said, I don't even know how he knows it. He says, Bekabbalah mirav Huna segula. And the commentary says, and the segula is ishtahave elechal. Those three letters, and that's the Shem. He aleph aleph. Incidentally, that explains to me something. We have a custom in our community, and I tell this to all the Hazanim. Our wedding ceremonies, how do they begin? The Hazan marches down. First they begin fighting with the caterer, and then after that's everybody has that custom. And then we go into the ceremony, and the Hazan marches down. And what pasuk does the Hazan say when he marches down at the wedding? Why do they say this? Especially a lot of times they don't even have the wedding in the synagogue. So it's not Bani Barab Abu Betecha, it's not Betecha, it's not Hechal Kochecha, it's in the hotel. And they still say Bani Barab Altecha, Abu Betecha. The explanation is because what happens at a wedding? The Ayin Hara is flying all over the place. Look how much he spent on the flowers. Look how many violins. Look at the smorgasbord. Look at the bride's gown, look at the clothes. So everybody's looking and looking. The Ayin Hara is, it's nuclear Ayin Hara. So we want to neutralize it. So what are we going to do now? We're going to have here Aleph Aleph parade? So the Hazan comes in and says, Eshtachave Elechal. Boom! Boom, he just gave the here Aleph Aleph. He just neutralized the whole place. All the Ayin Hara that's being given, so I teach the Hazanim the Kavanah. I said, I've never known this Kavanah. Not any time I'm at a wedding and the Hazan marches down, after he winks at me. He knows, he has the Kavanah. That's the secret of Rav Huna. If you understand this, you'll appreciate the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Tesachim. I couldn't find a smaller print. It's like a microfilm. The Gemara Pesachim is on Daf Pevav. It's an incredible Gemara. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yohanan. No. Rav Huna bere de Rav Natan ikla lebe Rav Nachman. Rav Huna came to the house of Rav Nachman. Amru le mashemach. So they ask Rav Huna, what's your name? Amalihu Rav Huna. So he says, Rav Huna. They ask him back, Amrule, Mai ta'ama karit lach Rav Huna. Why do they call you Rav Huna? Amalihu Ba'al Hashem Ani. I'm the owner of the name. What do you mean, Baal Hashem? So that she explains, Baal Hashem Ani. Mikatnuti kach korim li. That's what they call me from when I'm a kid. What do you want from me? They call me when I was young. Malashir, that's the name they gave me. That's the whole Gemara. You ever see a Gemara like this in your life? And somebody comes to me, what's your name? Eliyahu Mansur. Well, why do they call you Eliyahu Mansur? What kind of question is that? That's my name. Because my father, the Brit Milah, he can't see what he said, Eliyahu Mansur. What's your name? And here you have a Gemara. Nobody has any problems with this Gemara. They come to Gemara, what's your name? I don't have a problem asking him his name. That's Nerech Eretz. What's your name? Mashemach, Ravuna. Where'd you get such a name like that, Ravuna? He's really Baal Hashem. Baal Hashem, man. This is the name they chose for me. You know what the depth of this Gemara is? The depth of this Gemara can only be understood with this Rav Shimshon Masrupun. What do we know about Ravuna? He carried a good luck charm in his pocket. What was the good luck charm he had in his pocket? He had the Sigula of Aleph Aleph. He had the Sigula of the Shem Kadosh against the Ayin Hara. Anybody know how to say in Hebrew great wealth? Great wealth, you would say Osher Rav. Or you could say Hon Rav. Hon is a treasure. You know what Rav Huna means? Rav Huna means great wealth, great blessing. Rav Huna. And you know what the Hakamim say? You know why they called him Rav Huna? Because in his time, there was great beracha, there was great abundance, there was great shefa. So much shefa that they nicknamed him Rav Huna. Because they said, it's this rabbi's blessing. It's to his credit why there's so much beracha in the world. You know why there was so much beracha in the world in the times of Rav Huna? Because there was no Ayin Hara. You know why there wasn't Ayin Hara? Because he taught them the Shem. So they come to look and they say, what's your name? I'm Rav Huna. You're Rav Huna. So they say, what's the reason they called you that? Which means, what's your secret that you were able to bring to the world? Rav Huna. So you know what he answers? Ba'al Hashem ani. He says, because I got the Shem. What Shem? The Shem Kadosh, Aleph Aleph. And because of that, there's Beracha, the Shefa in the world. That's the depth of what Rav Shimshon Masrupali was revealing to us. Rav Huna is Ba'al Hashem. He carried the Shem Kadosh, Ba'al Hashem ani. And he taught it to everybody. So in Rav Huna's time, nobody had the Ayin Hara. Everybody had the Hei Aleph Aleph. Everybody was protected. And therefore in his time, there was great Shefa. We say every morning in the Tefillot, Asam Gevulech Shalom Helev Itim Esbi'ech. Asam Gevulech Shalom. We say, Borei Olam, you bring into the borders of Am Yisrael Shalom. Chedev Chetim Yasbi'ech, and you bring Parnasa, Shefa, Chedev Chetim, the fat of the crop, Chetim of the wheat. And the interpretation of this pasuk is, we're telling Borei Olam, you bring to us life, which is Shalom. Life and sustenance. Asam gevulech shalom, helif hatim yasbi'ech. And why are we so fortunate that we have shalom and we have parnasa? Because we're free from the Ayin Hara. And when you don't have Ayin Hara against you, you have long life and you have beracha. And what's the next pasuk? Asam gevulech shalom, helif hatim yasbi'ech. Hashoneyah Imrato Ares. He Aleph Aleph. Imrato Ares. Because we know the Sigula of Rav Huna, Shuleyach Imrato Ares. Ishtahave Elechal. Therefore we have Hadith Hatim, therefore we have Shalom. The Gemara says in Ta'anit, the Gemara says, What do you do if there's a famine in the land? How do you say famine in Hebrew? Ra'av. But in Hebrew, Ra'av. And how do you say, and it says in the Gemara, there's a famine and there's death. Death is called Mavet. So there's Ra'av and Mavet. So the Gemara says, what are you supposed to do? So the answer is, you have to go to the Tzaddik. You got to go to the Tzaddik and he's going to pray. So the holy books say, what is the Tzaddik going to do? How is he going to get rid of Ra'av and Mavet? So the Tzaddik has an uncanny ability, a certain trick that only the Tzaddik can do. He takes the ayin out of Ra'av. And if you take the ayin out of Ra'av, now what does it spell? Rav. And he puts the ayin in the word Mavet. After the man, he puts the ayin. Now what does it spell? Ma'ot. Ma'ot is what? Money. By taking the ayin out of Ra'av and putting it into Mavet, he turns Ra'av and Mavet into Rav Ma'ot, into a lot of sustenance. And that's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Hine en Adonai il Yireav. What's the en? En is the ayin. God gives the ayin. Hine en Adonai il Yireav. God gives the ayin to the tzaddikim. Lam yahalim nachazdo. Why? Lahatzil mimavet nafsham ulahayotam ba'ra'av. In order to save them from mavet and ra'av, God says, you control the ayin. You can move the ayin from the Ra'av and move it to the Mavet. Rav Ma'ot. What's it, Rav Ma'ot? Rav Ma'ot is Rav Huna. Rav Huna, great sustenance. Where does he get that from? Where does the tzaddik get that ability to move the ayin? Because his ayin is good. Because his eye is good. Because he has ayin tova. Hasam givulech shalom. Chelev etim esbi'ech. Because hasholeach emunato ares. And therefore, since the eye of the tzaddik is good towards the people, so Borei Olam says, your eye is good, you have control of the ayin. Move the ayin as you wish. Oh. So this is a big secret. It's your lucky night. You got a big secret tonight. How do you use it? I don't know exactly how you use it. You think about it. A person's, somebody says to you, oh, I heard you made a lot of money. Hey, Aleph, Aleph, in your brain. Aleph. What are you thinking about? Nothing. Aleph, Aleph. So what happens? Sarah was worried about the Ayin Hara. Because Ishmael's outside. He wants to sabotage the whole birth. He wants her to get a miscarriage. So God says, why did Sarah live? And what did Sarah say? So the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lama ze sa'aka lemor? Why did Sarah live and say, Ha'af omnam eled? Ha'af omnam eled? Am I indeed going to have a child? Why did she use those words? Ha'af umnam eled, rashe tevot, he aleph aleph. So she knew the Shem. Before Rav Huna. Before Rav Huna Sigula already, she was using he aleph aleph, ha'af umnam eled. And God answers back, no problem. But you didn't need to use it now. Don't use the Shemot when you don't need to use it. What should you waste the Shemot for? Stop using the Shemot. Hayipalem Adonai davar. Here God says, I told you directly you're going to have a baby. What are you taking out Shemot for? What do you have to take out the Kamiya for? What do you have to start using names of God for? For no purpose. Only question remains. The only question remains is, what's the mechanics of how the Shem works? How does that Shem, Hey Aleph Aleph, protect us from Ayin Hara? That's a good question. What's the three letters? Eh, Aleph, Aleph. Even though I saw brought down in one of the Sefarim of the Kabbalah that they say, Hey Aleph Aleph is Rashi Tevot. It says in the Pasuk, Yiftach Adonai Lecha Et Otsaro HaTov. Et Otsaro HaTov Aleph Aleph He. So in the Shem is hinting Et Otsaro HaTov, Rav Huna, Rav Ma'ot. But really, what's the depth? So I'm going to tell you the depth. Really, we should go to the mikveh before we say this part of the shiur. It's Leil Shishi already. Leil Shishi is already. The Kedusha of Shabbat allows us to expand them. The holy name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Havaya. Shem Kadosh. God says to Sarah, Adonai davar. Those that are connected to Yud Kei Vav Kei, you don't have to worry about Ayin Hara, you don't have to worry about anything. Hayipalem Adonai davar. If you're under the umbrella of Yud Kei Vav Kei, let them look at you, let them talk, let them say. Yud Kei Vav Kei protects. But the Yud Kei Vav Kei, as we know it, can be configured in four ways. What do you mean four ways? There's only four letters. Yud Kei Vav Kei. How can it be configured in four ways? So the Zohar talks about Yud Kei Vav Kei equaling 72. You're going to say, what do you mean 72? Yud Kei Vav Kei equals 26. When somebody goes up to the Sefer Torah, he says, how much you want to donate? $26. Why? Because he heard Yud Kei Vav Kei equals 26. Now he's going to hear it equals 72. He has to put his hand deeper in his pocket now. How does it equal 72? Okay. Listen closely. Take the Yud. How much is the Yud? 10. But Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. Yud. That's called Milui. Now it's 20. 20. How do you spell He? You say He He. I say He Yud. Who's right? We're both right. Elu ve'elu. But let's do the He Yud first. So He Yud is how much? 15. So that's 20 and 15 is how much? 35. How do you spell Vav? You spell it Vav Vav. I want to spell it Vav Yud Vav. Who's right? We're both right. Vav Yud Vav is how much? 22. So 35 and 22 is 57. And then the last He is He Yud again. 37 and 15. I'm sorry. 57 and 15, 72. So you see that magic. We mentioned Yud Kei 72. And by the way, that's called Shem Ab. Ab is Ayin Bet. It's the holy name of God. But the rabbi said there's three more ways to spell the name of God. You ready? Yud is Yud Vav Dalet again. It never changes. You never get confused on Yud Vav Dalet. Yud Vav Dalet, how much? 20. Keep the Hey Yud. Keep the Hey Yud. How much is that? 15, up to 35. Over here in the second way, we're going to spell it Vav Aleph Vav. No, not 11. 13. So 35 plus 13. 20 plus 15 is 35, plus 13, and then you have Heyud again plus 15, 63. Good. So the second configuration is Sag is 63. So you have 72, you have 63. Guess what? We can make the name of God equal 45. Now Yud Vav Dalet, boom, you have 20 already. Now we're going to spell the He Aleph. That's 6. Now you have 26. And the Vav, we're going to spell Vav Aleph Vav, with Alephs. That's 13. So 26 and 13 is 39. And the last He is He Aleph again is 6. Bingo. 39 plus 6, 45. That's called Shema Bim He. Understand? There's one more way we can spell the name of God, which equals 52. How? Yud Vav Dalet. That's 20 already. How do you spell He? Well, we spelt it already, Hey Yud. We spelt it already, Hey Aleph. What's the third way you spell it? Hey, Hey. Hey is 10. So now you have 30. And Vav will spell Vav Vav. Don't put anything in the middle. That's 12. That's 42. Again, Hey Hey, the last Hey. Another 10, 52. So you see, the configuration of God's holy name can be sometimes 72, sometimes 63, sometimes 45, sometimes 52. Ab, sag, ma, bin. Understand what I just said? Ab, 72. Ma, ab, sag, 63. Ma is 45. Bin is 52. Anybody that connects themselves to that holy name, finished. All the blessings come from that. By the way, how do you say blessing in Hebrew? Beracha. How do you say the blessing? Haberacha. Good. How much is Haberacha? Here's how much? 5. Bet is 2. That's 7. Resh is 200. That's 207. Chaf here is 25. 207 and 25? 232. What's so significant about the number 232? What's 72 plus 63? Plus 45 plus 52, 232. Which is, if you count up all the configurations of God's name, you understand? If you configure all the names of Hashem, 72, 63, 45, 52, equals 232, the exact numerical value of HaBeracha. That's it. When there's Beracha, you have nothing to worry about. I'm going to tell you a secret now. You ever see some people when they make Birkat HaMazon, when they make the Birkat HaMazon, they take a cup, they hold the cup. Koshil Birkat HaMazon. It's a big thing to do this. Some people, they like to get the Aliyah Shishi on Shabbat. So it's a big Aliyah. One of the big Mekubalim, Rabbi Mutzafi said, Rabbi Ben Sion Mutzafi said from his father, Rabbi Salman Mutzafi, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that making the Birkat HaMazon with a Kos Yayin is like 100 Aliyah Shishis. You're fighting to get Aliyah Shishi, don't forget about it. Just make Birkat HaMazon with a Kos Yayin. Why? What's the Hadush? What does this Kos Yayin on Birkat HaMazon do? What's the name of God of judgment? Elohim. How much is Elohim equal? 86. How much is Kos equal? 86. When you're holding the Kos, you know what you're holding? Judgments. These are all the judgments in your life. These are all the judgments, Hasba Shalom, that we don't want to get involved in. So what do we do with these judgments? We read the Birkat HaMazon. How many Berachot are in the Birkat HaMazon? 4 Berachot. The first Berachah is Keneged Shem Ab. The second Berachah is Keneged Shem Sag. The third Berachah is Keneged Shem Ma. And the fourth Berachah is Keneged Shem Ben. When you read the 4 berachot of the Amidah, you're actually creating the Ab and the Sag and the Ma and the Ben, and all of a sudden, you took the Kos, boom! And you blew it out of the water with the Shemot of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Isn't it worthy to spend a few minutes to get rid of the judgments? So you take the dinim, you hold it in your hand, because that's the target. You have to hold the target in front of you over there. You start shooting. Boom. Finish. Now it's all Barakah. And that's why we say, Al Kos Yayin Maleh, Ke Birkat Adonai. Al Kos Yayin Maleh, Ke Birkat Hashem. Because the Birkat Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei is the 4 Barakot of the Amidah. So you see, there's great power in this. Al kos yayin maleh, on a filled cup of wine, kos yayin maleh. Kos, I told you, equals 86, yes? But let's open up the word kos. Chaf is how much? Chaf peh, chaf. How much is that?
120.
Half and pair, no, half pair. 100. Samach is how much? 120. Samich is Samich Mem Chaf. So that's 120. So now how much you have so far? 220. Oh, that's very good. And how much is Vav? Vav Vav. That's 12. 232. Al Kos Yayin Maleh. We turn the Kos, which is 86, into Kos Maleh. When you have Kos Maleh, you went from 86 to 232. And the 232 is Kibirkat Adonai. It equals Kibirkat Hashem. It's the Merakav Yud Kevavke. Do you understand what the depth of Kos Maleh is? Why am I telling you all this? Because anything that's connected to 232 is connected to the four Shemot of Hashem. And that's it. You're protected. There's no Dinin. There's no Ainara. There's no Mar'in Bishin. There's no Meketregin. There's no Kilip. There's no nothing. But you're going to say, but Rabbi, you lost yourself. You forgot where you started. You don't know where you are. You lost yourself. And I didn't lose myself. I asked you a question. What's the secret of He Aleph Aleph? He said, well, He is 5, and Aleph is 1, and Abba is 7. They're too far away from 232. I wanted it to equal 232. Because if He Aleph Aleph equals 232, then that's the best thing in the world. But it all equals 7. 232 is 7. Okay, that's a trick. Are the milui? Let's see if the milui works. How much is here? He is how much? 10. How much is aleph? Aleph lamid peh is 111. But there's two alephs. So 111 times 2 is how much? 222 plus the he is 10? 232. That's worth a psst. That's it. The He Aleph Aleph equals 232. Which means when the person has the Kavanah He Aleph Aleph, which is the Shem, he's really mechaven to the milui of it. And now already God says to Sarah, what are you saying? Ha'af umnam eled. Hayitpaleh ma'adonai davar. I'm in front of you. I'm in front of you. The Yud Kevavka, I told you you have a baby. What do you have to do Shemot for? You only have to use the Shemot when you're away, when it happens not directly. Then you have to bring the Shemot in. But when Hashem is right over here, it's not necessary. The lesson for us is, the Musar, besides the education that you got, but the Musar of the talk is, Dabar Asamui Min Ha'ayin. And that one has to be careful not to be a mazik with his eyes. You should be generous. Like the tzaddikim, that they're happy to see somebody else have beracha. Not like Ishmael that already said, I was nervous, he's going to sabotage. There was a great rabbi from the Mir Yeshiva of Nesson Zvi Finkel. We visited now the yeshiva last week. We went with the synagogue. We went to see the Mir Yeshiva. So we met with the rabbi's son. And we saw Rav Nassim Svi's almana, his wife. So I told the Rebbetzin, I said, can I tell you something about your husband that I heard from Rav Tityahu Solomon? So she looked, yes. She says, I don't think I heard what you're going to tell me, so I want to hear it. I said, when I went with Rav Tityahu to Russia, I was sitting with Rav Tityahu on the bus, and it was right after your husband passed away. And if anybody knew Rav Nassim Svi, he had Parkinson's, a severe case. And he, Barmanan, shaking, and he's lying, and he couldn't function in a normal way. So Rav Tityahu tells me, you know why Rav Nassim Svi was zocheh to have the biggest yeshiva in the world? Because nobody was jealous of him. Nobody put ayin hara on him. Nobody was looking at him. Nobody wished any bid on him because they said, miskin, alone. He says, look, when there's no ayin hara on a person, look how far he's able to... is all the ikuvim is because people are jealous and they put ayin hara and they put, so therefore things fail. But if a person is free from ayin hara, well, she received tremendous chizuk from such a statement. Is this true? So therefore, we have to learn a lesson over there where we should learn not to be like Ishmael Hashem, to wish bad on people. The wishing bad on people, the ayin hara on the people, it affects them. Why do you want to see somebody suffer? Why do you want to see somebody be down? Hine en Adonai lirav l'nachayim mazdo l'hayotam bara'av. And the Musar to us is also the Ba'as HaMecha. Low-key means you don't have to send pictures of everything that you're doing. You don't have to publicize every single thing that you're doing. Every restaurant that you enter, and every party that you go to, and every dress that you buy, and every jewelry that you buy, and every, you don't have to take a picture and send it to all your friends. For why? For what purpose? Ba'as HaMecha. What happened to Ba'as HaMecha? You only bring the ayin hara on you. And you also learned the pshat and the chumash over here with Sarah Amenu, and you put a shem in your pocket. You'll never have to use it, but stam just like dir to Rabbi Adir. Be'ezat Hashem bori olam, like we pray in the morning, should save us. Shetasinenu miyetzer hara, u'me'ayin hara, u'pe'g hara, מדין קשה ובעד דין קשה ומדינה של גיהנם ברוך ה' לעולם אמן ואמן רבי יחנן בן קשה אומר רבי יחנן בן קשה תפיך חרבה לאין סוף מחפש ומעל צדקו משה reminds me I didn't want to answer but I'm going to answer it now רבותיי if you have another minute it's worth your wait משה says hey but rabbi you didn't answer the יחוד Ishmael standing outside and says, "Mepnei Yehud." Maybe we can explain it like this. That says Ishmael was standing outside. All of a sudden we see Sarah Emenu using Shemot. Ha'af, Umnam, Eled. The Shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when somebody uses the Shemot, we call that a Yehud. L'shem Yehud. So therefore, the question is, why Ishmael was standing outside. So, now we understand Mipnei Yehud. That's why Sarah was making Yehudim. Sarah was making Yehudim because Ishmael was outside. Mipnei Yehud. That was the cause why she had to make Yehudim. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.